We've been working our way through the book of 1 John, and last week we were in chapter 3, and we got down as far as verse 21. That's as far as we got last week. So I want to pick up there. There's only three verses left in chapter 3 in the book of 1 John, and I want to try to cover those this morning. I'm going to read all three of these, but I'll tell you primarily I want to base my comments this morning on verse 22, almost everything. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." I suppose I've lost count how many times John has reminded us about our charge in life is that we should obey our Savior's commandments and we should love one another. Here it is again. We've encountered this numerous times so far in our journey through the book of 1 John about John speaking about how we are to obey God, follow his commandments, keep his commandments, and then love one another. It seems like the theme of John's letter is loving one another. That old apostle that lived to be in his 90s and writing now about love, it seems like it has really made an impression on his mind. You know, you can tell what's on people's mind by their conversation a lot, can't you? And so John keeps repeating and reminding us about loving one another. And I love that. I think that's good. And I think that's a good reminder for us of things that we should be focusing on. But I want to focus our thoughts primarily this morning on verse 22. And John writes this. He says, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." Now, did John really mean that? Whatsoever we ask, we receive it of our Lord? I mean, did he really mean anything that we ask for? Everything we ask for, do we always receive that? Well, I'm just reading to you what John wrote. He said we do. He said, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." I've always been a believer that there are many blessings in obedience for Christians, for children of God. I've always felt like, in fact, I would tell you that I have experienced in my lifetime receiving blessings from God, and I know it's because of just trying to make an honest effort to follow his word and try to do his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, the few little simple things that he tells us about. I've seen it in others my whole life. There are blessings in obedience. I understand that, and I really believe it in my heart. But I believe John is trying to get a point across here. I believe John wants us to have an expectation that our prayers are going to be successful. Now, I don't know about you. How about you this morning? When you pray, do you have an expectation that your prayers are going to be successful? I hope that you do. I guess I would have to confess and tell you there's been times and there's been things that I have prayed for that I wasn't sure about. I wasn't sure how God might feel about it. But I think John is trying to steer us towards believing that our prayers are going to be successful. In other words, that we pray having faith. It sure seems that way. Why is that? Why should we have an expectation that our prayers are going to be successful and that God's going to hear them and we're going to receive the things that we ask for? He gives you the answer. He says it's because we are pressing into the kingdom by keeping his commandments. You know, the scriptures do teach us that we are to press, actively, physically press into the kingdom. We have to put forth energy to press ourselves into the kingdom of God. I got to reading that this week and I got to thinking, does John really mean this? What are the implications of what John just said? That whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. I can tell you, I haven't always prayed that way. How about you? Have you always prayed that way? Have you always had that expectation that you're going to receive the things you ask for? Well, let's press on this morning. If the Lord would help us, I have a hope. I want to challenge your understanding of prayer a little bit this morning. If God would help us. I want to turn over to Luke chapter 11. If we have time, I want to try to show you three different places in the scriptures regarding or related to prayer. And I believe fits in with what John is saying in that verse about our prayer life. Luke chapter 11. Now, I know we're all familiar with the Lord's Prayer. That's what most people call it. I like to call it the model prayer. Okay? It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And he said to him, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep in mind the reason that Jesus said this. This is Jesus trying to teach us a model to follow and to go by. Luke wrote this, and he said, disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray. So Jesus is giving a model prayer and he's teaching his disciples there. This is a way you can pray. Here's an outline and here's a guideline about praying. And it's a lot of things could be said about that, but I don't want to really talk about that this morning. I want you to notice in verse 5, he goes right in to something else. He goes into a different story here, and he's still talking about the subject of prayer, though. Listen to what he says. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he shall from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Jesus is talking about the subject of prayer. And he says, which one of you would have a friend that if you had a friend of yours came to you at midnight, you had a friend that showed up, knocked on your door at midnight, and they were hungry and you wanted to feed them something, you wanted to show some kindness to your friend, but you were caught off guard and you didn't have anything to serve them or you didn't have any food that you could share with the traveler. And so you would go to a friend of yours, you would knock on the door and you would ask for some loaves of bread. But it's very interesting that your person who supposedly is a friend of yours is already in bed, he's already tucked in bed, and Jesus Did you notice what he said? He says, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Well, that's my word of the day, importunity. That word is found exactly one time in the scriptures, and it's right here in Luke chapter 11. Importunity. I've never heard anybody speak the word, as far as I know of, in my life. I've never heard it used in conversation. I've never even read about it in anywhere except here in the Bible. Then this one place, importunity. Isn't it interesting? Jesus says, you have a person that is actually a friend of yours, but because of the inconvenience of the hour, being midnight, and your friend's already tucked in bed, and the children are in bed, everything's put away for the night, and there's knocking at the door, and somebody outside says, I need some bread. And they're a friend of yours, but they will not get up and help, even though you're a friend. That's very interesting. I'm not really sure how good of a friend is that. I mean, I feel like if I had a need in the middle of the night and I call one of you, if I could reach you somehow, I just know in my heart you're going to try to help. But Jesus is making a point. He's talking about the subject of prayer. He says he won't help him because he's a friend. He says because it's too inconvenient and it's the middle of the night. But because of importunity, because of that person's importunity, he'll get up, give him as many as he needs. That word importunity, I didn't look that up for a long time. I just figured it had something to do with having a need. I don't know why I thought that. That's not the case. It doesn't mean that at all. And it's very interesting, though. It's ironic what it does mean. Because this person has importunity, he'll get up and get him whatever he needs. Wouldn't do it because he's a friend, but because of this person's actions. That word importunity, it literally means, you go look this up, it means to be insistent, to be pressing, demanding, even to the point of being shameless. It's what it really means. It means urgent persistence to the point of being troublesome. How about that? It means to implore with shameless audacity. In other words, I cannot believe you have the audacity to even ask me for that. Have you no shame? That's exactly what it means. Now, Jesus is teaching his disciples about prayer. Teach us to pray. And he told them, here's a model prayer. Here you can form your prayer somewhat along these lines. I don't think he means we have to say it verbatim, word for word. But then he goes on to this. He says, here's something about prayer that maybe you didn't know. He says, how about importunity? So he says, because of his importunity, because of his imploring with shameless audacity, because he kept knocking and he would not go away, and because he had literally had no shame, and he kept asking and he kept asking, the man got up and got him the loaves. He got him the bread. Jesus says in the very next sentence, he says, and I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, well, I just mentioned last Sunday, I believe, about the power of those words, shall, when you find them in the scripture. I'll tell you, friends, when I run across the word shall in the Holy Scriptures, it catches my eye. I stop and I look at it and I read that again and I say, what is he talking about? Because the Bible just used the word shall. Jesus just used the word shall three times in this one verse. It shall be given you. Seek and you shall find, and it shall be opened unto you. Now there's something you can take to the bank. Jesus has said, when you pray, this is what you can expect. Remember what John said? John says, we shall receive those things that we ask for. Well, here's Jesus confirming the very thing. John, I'm sure, heard Jesus say these very words. I have every expectation that John was there. He says in verse 10, everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now I want to say one thing. Now here's this person Jesus is using in this little story. Here's a person that is a friend of someone, but he is not willing to get up because he's inconvenienced. I don't believe for one minute that Jesus is trying to imply that our Heavenly Father could be inconvenienced by your prayers. I don't think Jesus means that at all. In fact, I think Jesus is teaching by contrast here rather than parallel, if that makes sense to you. I don't think our Heavenly Father is a parallel of the man who's kind of too lazy to get up at night because he's already tucked in. So I don't think he means that. I think he's teaching by contrast rather than parallel. God is much different than that. If you think this person is a friend, how much more is our Heavenly Father to you and I? He is our Heavenly Father. In fact, Jesus says this in verse 11. He says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? How much more? Do you know that's an amount that I am unable to quantify? How much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? In Matthew's gospel, it says, how much more will He give good things to them that ask Him? Comparing our Heavenly Father to an earthly father of sorts. Jesus uses common sense and common reasoning, something you and I can all identify with. He says if we have a child and the child is hungry and asks for food, are you going to give them something evil? Would you give them a snake? Would you give them a scorpion who has a poisonous stinger? Of course not. I mean, it's almost borders to ridiculous. None of us would ever think about doing that. But Jesus uses that as a comparison, and he says, well, obviously, if you wouldn't do that, he says, how much more would your Heavenly Father be pleased to give you good things when you ask Him? I like the part, though, that Jesus is teaching about prayer when he talks about importunity. This theme of importunity, the word importunity is only found in one place here, but the character of it carries on. It's found in other places as well, the theme of it. You remember what James said? James said that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I believe that. I've seen it in my life. Have you? Have any of you seen the effects of an effectual, fervent prayer? Well, I hope that we all have. I'll tell you, if I have something wrong in my life or if I get sick, I want you to pray for me, and I want you to pray for me by name. We like to pray for each other, but we like to pray for each other by name. It's not that the Lord doesn't know who you are or what you need, but I still like to pray for you by name. And I think that's a good way. That's a good practice when we pray. But do you see what Jesus is getting at? He says, never give up. Keep knocking. You might not always get an answer to your prayer on the first knock. It's not because your Father has not heard you. It is most certainly not because your Father is busy doing something else and cannot be inconvenienced. It is most certainly not that. But yet, nonetheless, Jesus is teaching us about praying without ceasing. Never give up. Importunity. Maybe you can remember that word. It's so unusual, we probably can all remember it. Importunity. I doubt I'll ever hear anybody use it in a sentence. But it means those things, pressing on, demanding, shameless and urgent, persistent. Pray persistently. Pray urgently. Pray pressing. Never stop praying. That's what Jesus is teaching here. It's all connected with prayer. And he says, don't you understand how much your Father loves you? And don't you understand how much more the Father will be willing to give you these good things that you need and things that you're asking for? I love that. Don't we just need to be reminded sometimes about our prayer life? I said I wanted to challenge you a little bit about your understanding of prayer life. Well, I'm talking about this word importunity and how you ought to be praying. Pressing. Praying even to the point of being troublesome. Here's another one. Just a few chapters over, Luke chapter 18. I know that you remember the story about the widow and the unjust judge. Luke writes, and he spake a parable, speaking about Jesus. He spake a parable unto them to this end. Here's the reason that he gave the parable, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Here we go again. Here's the same theme being repeated. Never stop praying. Jesus said this. Here's his parable. There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. I don't have to read any more about this judge to know this is not a good person. If he doesn't fear God and he doesn't regard his fellow man, this is not a good person. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto the judge and said, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So here's a person that is no good. It's not a good person. Anybody that does not fear God is not a good person. And I'll tell you, it's no one that I want to associate any of my time with if I can help it. Someone that doesn't even fear God. But this judge, this just goes to show you how people are. It goes to show you about human nature, does it not? Probably a lot of us may would be the same way. He says, I don't fear God. I don't fear man. I certainly don't fear this woman. But I tell you what, I'm about to get tired of her coming and troubling me because she keeps coming and she's making me weary. She keeps coming and saying, please help me by avenging my enemy. Avenging the one that is an adversary, that's an enemy, somebody that's against me, please help me by avenging. In other words, please enact some justice for what this person who's my enemy has done to me. Please help me. And he wouldn't do it for a long time, but guess what? She kept on. She kept pressing, insistently pressing with shameless audacity. She kept coming to the judge, won't you please help me? How many times do I have to ask you, I need help, won't you please help me? If you don't answer me today, I'm coming back tomorrow. Won't you please help me? The judge, who, by the way, this is nothing like God. Talk about teaching by contrast versus parallel. This judge is nothing like God, okay? This is a complete contrast to your Heavenly Father. And yet, even he could be convinced by her continual coming and weariness. It was making him tired because she kept coming with her request. And even as evil as he was, even he could be swayed and finally convinced, I'm just going to help her so she'll stop. Now, God's not like that at all, but how much more do you think God is ready and wanting to help you and I when we come to him in prayer? Jesus says, how much more does he want to give you good things and to give you the Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, beloved, but I'm telling you, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I need the Holy Spirit to come and indwell in my heart, and I need him to build a house there and to stay there. I can't function without the Holy Spirit in my life because I'll go off on a rabbit trail and I'll get lost and I'll end up in a bad place, and so will you. We all need the Holy Spirit in our life. And Jesus says God would be very happy to send you measures of the Holy Spirit each time that we ask. You see that word importunity? It applies here also, doesn't it? What did Jesus teach by this parable? Luke told you, he said, he spake this parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I'm trying to get you to think about your prayer life a little bit in a little bit of a different way this morning. In other words, we've all heard this before, that we should always pray and we should maybe not give up, but I want you to focus more on how the scriptures are using this word and this concept of importunity. Jesus told another parable. Here's another one here that Jesus just told. And he says, keep praying. The whole gist of the parable is what? Keep praying. Do not faint. Now, none of us obviously are God. We don't know how the mind of God works on everything. I can't tell you how God's going to answer your prayer tomorrow or mine today or tomorrow. All I know is what the scriptures teach us is that never stop praying. Never stop praying. Jesus says that God hears our prayers, and those who seek are going to find. Those who knock, I believe he's talking about the door of close fellowship with God. God is our friend. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's our Creator God, but he's also our friend, and he's our Heavenly Father. I believe that knocking he's talking about is knocking on the door of fellowship with God. God has created us and designed us because he wants to have fellowship with us. We're his children, and he wants to have that close fellowship. I believe you and I should always be knocking at that door, desiring fellowship with our God and with our Savior. Jesus says you can have it. But you see what he's teaching about how insistent we are. This widow has importunity, does she not? She has it. Doesn't use the word here, but she absolutely has it. She has importunity in the way that she approaches the judge with her request. Over and over and over. She never gets tired, but the judge finally got tired, didn't he? Well, God's never going to get tired, but Jesus says, you just keep coming, you just keep asking. I like that. Let's get one more place this morning. Turn back to Matthew chapter 15 for a moment. Matthew chapter 15. I'm in verse 21. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and he said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. This woman was a Gentile coming, says she was a woman of Canaan. She was a Gentile. She came out of the coast and she found Jesus. And she knew who he was. Even though she's a Gentile, she knew absolutely who Jesus was. She addresses him and cried out unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Now, I don't know her source of understanding. I don't know how she learned about Jesus and exactly who he was, with her being a Gentile. And the Gentiles not having the word of God, the oracles of God that were given to the Jews and to Israel, but she knew, somehow she knew. And she addresses him as, Lord, thou son of David. She comes and she cries and says, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Can any of you ever remember when you were young and maybe you had some request on your mind, something that you needed from one of your parents? Have you ever went to your father maybe and started talking to him, Dad, I got this going on and I need this, whatever. And yet Dad just sat there and he never said a word. Maybe he's reading the paper or maybe he's reading a magazine. And he never even looks up. He never acknowledges me. He just keeps on reading like I'm not even there. And I'm trying to tell him what I need. Has that ever happened to you? It did to me occasionally. This is kind of the picture that I get when this woman comes and speaks to Jesus and cries out about her daughter is vexed with the devil. And it says, but Jesus answered her not a word. Well, you know, a lot of people who are weak-spirited might have just bowed their head and turned away and walked away. But she didn't do that. She didn't give up. This Gentile woman from the land of Canaan, it didn't faze her. She just stayed right there. He didn't answer a word, and even his disciples came and tried to encourage Jesus, tell her to go away. All she's doing, she keeps crying out to us. She's making a lot of noise and a lot of commotion. She's somewhat troubling us. Why don't you just tell her to leave, please? And Jesus' answer to that, he says, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now he knows this woman is a Gentile. Obviously not of the house of Israel. And now Jesus gives her another strike. He says, look, I'm only sent to the house of Israel. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And there she is, standing right there in front of him, being a Gentile. There's strike number two. You know what? She didn't give up. She didn't quit. She didn't get her little feelings hurt. She didn't get discouraged and turn and go back home and start complaining, woe is me. She just kept on. And then she came and worshiped him. Not only did she not get her feelings hurt, she knew who she's talking to. She knew who she was in the presence of, this Gentile woman. I don't know how she ever learned about Jesus and learned, but in her heart, she knew who he was. because it says she came and she worshiped him. He won't even speak to her. He says, I came for the Israelites, not any Gentiles. And what does she do? She comes to worship him. Now, the Bible doesn't say here, I don't know, but it made me wonder. I just wondered, did she not come and possibly fall down upon her knees before him? Doesn't it make you wonder? She came and worshiped him. She said a big, long, complicated prayer. Probably took her days to think it up. She says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I remember somebody else that had a prayer that was about that long. Remember Peter walking on the water? What did he say? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Do you know your prayers don't have to be complicated? Do you know that you don't have to try to get a thesaurus and look up complicated words? I can tell you, I've heard some sermons before by some ministers. I had to go home and look up some of the words they were using because they were so far over my head, I'm not even sure I understand half of what he said. Now, I'm sure it was good. But can you imagine that a three-word prayer can be effective? Well, I'm just pointing to God's word and showing you that it can be. A simple three-word prayer can be very effective. Lord, help me. Okay, here comes strike number three. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. It is not acceptable. It's not okay to take food that's intended for the children of the Father of Heaven, the Israelites, and cast it to dogs. That's how they referred to the Gentiles, as dogs. And that's not very nice, is it? Well, no, it's not nice at all. But that's what they did. They called them dogs. Can you believe that Jesus said that, really? I mean, the creator of heaven, the eternal Son of God, can you really believe that he said that to this Gentile woman that's in his presence that just finished worshiping him? She humbled herself and worshiped him. And what does he do? He said, it's not acceptable to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. That's like strike three, you're out. Surely she's given up. Surely she's going to leave now. But I want you to read the next verse. Look at the next verse just for a moment. She says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I couldn't have thought up a more outstanding answer if I would have worked on it for 10 years. How could you give a better, more humbling answer than she did after three strikes against her? You know what I say this woman had? Importunity. Shameless audacity. Persistent imploring for help. Never giving up. To the point of being troublesome. Jesus just insulted her by calling her a dog. He literally insulted her by calling her a dog. Now, do you think Jesus really meant that? He'll never convince me. He didn't mean that she's a really, literally a dog, because I believe she's a child of God. There's no person that's a child of God that can recognize who Jesus is and call him Lord and then come and worship him. She is an evermore child of God, even though she's a Gentile. You know God has children all over this world. He always has. But he insulted her to her face Maybe he's testing her faith. I don't know. I don't know what Jesus was doing when he gave her three strikes in a row. One, two, three. I'm not helping you. And she just finished worshiping him. I can only imagine in my mind that God is testing her faith. You know, the Bible says that God tests our faith regularly. He tests our faith. You know, we wonder sometimes, certain things that we've prayed for in our life, we've prayed for it over and over and for years and years sometimes, we wonder, don't we? Why have we seemingly not gotten an answer, or why hasn't this happened? I wonder if God could be testing our faith sometimes. Now, my heart believes in the words that Jesus says. He says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. I believe those words. Jesus said that. John wrote about that. James said that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It works. But I could not have come up with a better answer than this woman did. Truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You call me a dog? He says, okay, I just want some crumbs, Lord. All I need is crumbs. That's all that I need today. I need a few crumbs. I'm not giving up. You're not going to shame me into giving up. You can call me a dog. You can call me anything, but I'm not giving up. I'm worshiping you. Lord, help me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Help me, Lord. Nobody else could help her. She knew where to go to find help. I hope you know where to go to find your help. There's so many things in this world that there's no one out there that can help you or I or any of God's children, but our Lord can. The God in heaven, sitting on the throne and the majesty on high, can help you. And he hears your prayers. I cannot believe the answer that she gave, how good of an answer that it was. Can you almost see Jesus having to smile when she said that? Can you almost see him? He just gave her three strikes, but can you almost see the love in his eyes? Now, you know this is a child of God that he loves. He absolutely loves her. It's one of his children. And she says, Lord, I just need some crumbs. And Jesus answered and he said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We just looked at three examples together this morning of importunity. Have a friend that won't rise, get up at midnight and give me a loaf of bread because he's already tucked in. It's too inconvenient. But Jesus says, because of importunity, he'll not only get up, but he'll give you as many as you need. I hope that your understanding of prayer this morning is just refocused, rekindled a little bit about how insistent and how fervent we need to pray to God and how we are to never give up. Never give up. I'll tell you, isn't it something that a three-word prayer can be so effective? I just close with this. I'm going to skip ahead in 1 John. I'm just going to read two verses and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to skip ahead to chapter 5 in 1 John because John is writing about this same subject about prayer again. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, John says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. I believe every word in this book is true. This book is telling you and I this morning that we can have the petitions that we bring to God. It's absolutely telling us, but I'll tell you what Jesus was teaching with his parable. He was teaching with several different parables, teaching us that men ought always to pray and never to faint. I hope that each one of you this morning, when we go home today, I hope you'll go home and take a little bit of importunity with you. Put that in your pocket. I hope you'll always keep it the rest of your life. I hope you'll always use it in your prayer life, because Jesus said it's something good for you and I to have. May God bless and keep you.